Who is Jesus Christ? We talked about worship. Should we worship Jesus? Should we pray to Jesus? Or should we just respect him as the great man that he was? Okay. I think it's a legitimate subject to know the answer to. I talked somewhat about Jesus at the conference a couple of years ago in Nashville. This is all different. It's all new stuff. All new stuff here. Now, I have six propositions put forth by different people, different churches, different religions, as to who or what Jesus is. Number one, Jesus is a myth, a religious hoax, and historical fraud. There never was a real Jesus. That's one theory. Okay? Second theory, Jesus was not a real person, but he is real in that he is the spiritual principle of all that is or can be good about humanity and its potential for righteousness. He is a spiritual principle rather than a real person, historical person. Number three, Jesus was a real historical figure, but just a man. Nothing supernatural, nothing divine about him. Just a unique, great man. Okay. Four, Jesus was indeed the Son of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit of his Father God in the womb of a human mother, but had no pre-existence of any kind before becoming human. Jesus was never God and never will be God. Number five, Jesus did exist before his human birth and coexisted with God the Father from eternity. He had no beginning, but was the beginner and the creator of all else. All was created by God the Father, but it was accomplished through Jesus. Jesus was the instrumentality behind his Father's creation. Jesus, therefore, is the eternal second person of the Godhead Trinity. Number six, Jesus existed as God before his human incarnation. And not only was and is he deity, not only was and is he God, but in reality, Jesus also was and is God the Father. Did you know that religions teach that? Some Christians teach that? Yeah? He's not only God, he's God the Father. Jesus is not a separate individual from his Father, but actually is God the Father, changed into a human. And Jesus as God, in either the fifth theory or the sixth theory, are the reasons why Christian theologians say Jesus did not die on the cross. Why? Because he was God. And God can't die. I mean, if there's only one God and he dies, we're in trouble. And who would resurrect him if he could bring him? Who would do that? Now, are there any scriptures to suggest that any of these explanations of who or what Jesus Christ was is true? Is there anything to any of these theories? Is there anything that looks like, well, that could be scriptural? But yes, there is. There's several scriptures that could be used to suggest that Jesus Christ is the creator of all and that he is indeed called God. That could be applied to either the fifth theory or the sixth theory. Well, is this fifth or sixth theory then true?
Nope.
Why? Because in spite of the fact that there are some elements of truth, there are also other scriptures that disprove other aspects of the same theory. So these six theories I gave you, not one of them are true. Not one. So we got one left. And I think that's the truth. There's a rock opera or whatever. Jesus Christ Superstar. You ever heard of that? Yes? No? How many have never heard of that? Jesus Christ Superstar. Well, in there's a song. Mary Magdalene sings this song. And it's entitled, I Don't Know How to Love Him. And it goes like this. I don't know how to love him, what to do, how to move him. I don't see why he moves me. He's a man. He's just a man. And I've had so many men before, in very many ways. He's just one more. Should I bring him down? Should I scream and shout? Should I speak of love? Let my feelings out? I never thought I'd come to this. What's it all about? Is that Jesus? Just a man? Somebody, some girl might fall in lust over? Just a man. Now, the book that I have is entitled Jesus Was Not a Trinitarian. And I agree with that. I agree with that. And he goes to some length to scripturally prove that Christ was not a Trinitarian and that there is not a Trinity in the Scriptures. But there's one problem. In wiping out the Trinity, he also wipes out a great deal of the character and the glory and the majesty and the divinity of Jesus Christ, and reduces him down to a man. Now, he doesn't say he's just a man. He says he's a unique man, you know, for sure, sinless, and now seated at the right hand of his Father. But he's a man. That's all he ever was. That's all he ever will be. A man. Only now he's immortal. An immortal man. And of course, you know, I had a falling out with one of our inner circle some years ago who started to teach that Jesus Christ was sin. Because it says there in Corinthians that he was made to be sin. Of course, if you study that, you find that it should be sin offering. He was made to be a sin offering, not that he was made to be the personification of sin. Because the next phrase says he was made to be sin who knew no sin. How can you be what you're not? How can you be an opera singer if you can't carry a tune? How can you be an airplane pilot if you've never even been in an airplane? You can't be what you're not. Jesus cannot be sin and not sin. It's an oxymoron or something. And so, I've thought about this in years past when I didn't have the full answer to this. Could a man, just a man now, be the Savior of the world? See, if you're going to argue that Jesus Christ was a man, only a man, nothing divine about him, there's all kinds of problems just philosophically speaking. Why would he have to be conceived by God? Why? He's just a man. Men are born all the time. So we want him to be of the line of Judah. All right, fine. Let's get a Jewish boy. Then we get a Jewish boy and a Jewish girl, and we'll marry them, and they'll have a baby boy. And he'll be the Savior of the world. Why not? Think about it. Let's think about all the words. Why did Jesus have to be conceived by His Father? Why? He's just a man. Jewish women had boys all the time. And if He had to be something special above a man, then He's no longer just a man. Did I say something wrong? If He had to be something more than a man, then He's more than a man. He's not just a man. Is any Jewish boy's life worth all the billions of humanity combined? Is any Jewish boy worth that? How so? How so? Why didn't God just say, we need a Jewish boy? Jacobson, we'll use you. We're going to crucify you, and you're going to save the world that way. Me? Yeah, what do you do for a living? I'm a carpenter. Yeah, that'll do. Yeah, you're a carpenter. Okay. And we'll kill you, and that way I'll save the whole world. Of what value am I that my life is worth more than the whole world of humanity? Billions of people. Well, what would God say? Well, yeah, you're worth more than the rest of humanity put together. How so? Why? So why was He conceived by God? If God wanted a man, He could have chosen any man. And if He wanted to be born of a virgin, fine, He could be born of a virgin. But why did He have to be... why did He have to be conceived by God Himself? Why? What?
I was thinking maybe to have the Spirit of God within
you. Well, the Spirit of God was with a lot of people from birth.
To show His love.
But then again, if he had God's Spirit in a special way from birth, and as a little boy, He ain't just a man. Because no man goes through his teenage years without lusting after a pretty girl. So He had to be more than just a man. Just men lust, and that's a sin. And if he sinned, he can't be the Savior of the world. He is not the perfect sacrifice. We need a perfect sacrifice that is flawless. There is no human being that is flawless. Jesus said so Himself. He's a good master. He said, don't call me good. There is none good but one. That is God. Okay? But now we're going to make a second good one. But out of just a man? Just a man? If Jesus is just a man, and that's all it takes to save the world, God could have used any Jewish boy to be the Savior of the world. I don't think any of you really believe that would have worked. There was more to Jesus Christ than just the fact that He was born like any other human being. Not so. Now, again, we need to be careful, because If we get out of our minds, go too far overboard here, we'll be like, you know, like the man that told Bob Carlyle sitting back there in the last row. You know, he said, why, Jesus Christ's very fingernails were sinned. Is that what he said, Bob? Did he tell you that Christ's fingernails were sin? What? Okay. And then he said, Jesus Christ was no better than I am. Ooh. Be careful. In Hebrews 10, it says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you suppose should he be thought worthy of who has trodden under the foot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant, that's the blood of Jesus Christ, wherein he was sanctified, an unholy thing. That unholy thing is the word koinos, and it means common, something that is shared by all. In other words, just a man, same as any other man, common. It's also translated unclean when talking about ceremonial things. Vine's Concise Dictionary of the Bible: common, ordinary, belonging to the generality, as distinct from something that is peculiar. Okay. Of course, this is precisely what the rock opera Jesus Christ Superstar has done. They have demeaned Christ down to, somebody that Mary Magdalene wants to commit adultery with. So it says, woe be if you consider the blood of Jesus Christ to be like any other man's blood. Yet that one man told me that his blood was no better than mine. Whoa. Boy, I would fear to even think something like that, let alone to say it. He was not common. He was not what is shared by everyone. It says he took on the form of a servant, and he was made like unto sinful flesh, okay? And he was made a little lower than the angels. It's not talking about somebody who was a natural, who came out of a natural childbirth. He was made. The scriptures say he was made a little lower, or for a little while lower than the angels. Why? So he could die. Excuse me, if Jesus Christ were only a man, he would have to die. Are you following me? Every human being that is born dies. It's appointed unto all men to die. Jesus Christ had to be made a certain way so that he could die. Do you believe it? Or do you despise the Word of God? Let's read it. God is not going to put in charge the next world under an angelic rulership and so on. He says, in a certain place it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you visited him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, and you did set him over the works of your hand. You have put all things in the subjection under his feet. This is talking about humanity now. Let man have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and the land. All of the dominion. He put all this in subjection to humanity. But now we see not yet all things put under him, under humanity. Okay? Verse 9. Hebrews 1:9. But we see Jesus, who was made. You see that word? He was made. He wasn't always that way. He had to be made that way. Now, if he were just a man born of a woman, he wouldn't have to have been made anything. Any man born of a woman will die. It's appointed unto all men to die. But the only way Jesus could die, God had to make him lower than the angels so that he could die. Are you following me? Does it make sense that Jesus was not just born? Before he got to the process of actually being born, he had to be made something else from what he was. Why? Because what he was, he couldn't die. And God didn't force this on him. We learn all through the scriptures, Jesus Christ volunteered. Jesus says, nobody takes my life. God the Father didn't say, I'm going to sacrifice you come hell or high water. And you have nothing to say about it. He said, no, I lay down my life. I do it, he says. He volunteered. So he was made a little lower than the angels for or because of the fact that he had to die, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Okay. Continue. So, Mr. Buzzard, in his book, he says, no, he wasn't just a man, but he was a man. He wasn't anything more than a man. But it's certainly a unique man. You wouldn't just call him a, you know, he wouldn't do like this other acquaintance of mine, call him common or unclean, you know. But he said, you know, he's very unique, you know, very commendable in every way. But he was a human being and nothing more. He says there was no pre-existing Son of God as distinct from Jesus who did not pre-exist. He says on page 616. You know what? I didn't bring my book, so I'm going to have to cover some of this tomorrow. Now, he says in his book, quote, Jesus, not God, is the Alpha and Omega who died, Revelation 17. God cannot die, 1 Timothy 6:16. But what he fails to teach is what it says in Philippians 2:6-7 and Hebrews 2:9. Jesus emptied himself of his prior glories so that he could die. That's what it says there in Hebrews. He had to be made different from any other normal Jewish man so that he could die. Men that are born naturally of a woman through the impregnation of a natural husband do not have to be made a certain way so that they can die. They all die. But Jesus had to be made lower than the angels. Now it says a little lower, but the Greek is a little while lower. Study that phrase, a little while lower. How long? Well, about 33 years. A little while. What about after that? He's going to be given back all the glory he had. What about before those 33 years? He had all that glory. We have an interval in there. A little while. There's no reason in the world to put that phrase in there that he would be made a little lower than the angel, or he would be made lower than the angels for a little while if he didn't ever even existed in some other state that had to be changed, you see, so that he could die. So anyway, now, he does admit something here that's rather interesting. He says, Jesus, not God, is the Alpha and the Omega who died, Revelation 17. Okay. So he is the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus, not God. I'm going to hold him to that. When you teach something, you better stand by it, especially if it's heresy. In Revelation 1:8, it says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and is to come, the Almighty. Some say, that's God the Father. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus, not God, is the Alpha and the Omega. Right? Who is the Almighty? Alpha and the Omega. Who is that? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. the Almighty. Pantocrator is the Almighty. Strong's Concordance. The all-ruling, that is, God. An absolute, universal, sovereign. Almighty, omnipotent. That is the definition of God in every way. Genesis 17:1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be you perfect. 48 times Shaddai is used of God, not of men. Okay? Now, the Almighty God. Is this God the Father? No. No. It says the Almighty God appeared. They appeared. That is, he could see him. Jesus Christ said, no man has seen God at any time. John 1:18. John 5:37. Is Christ a liar? Is the Bible a liar? He appeared unto Abraham. And he said unto Abraham. Said? Doesn't that take a voice? You have never seen his form or heard his voice. Well, who is this God that speaks? Well, who is the spokesman? Who is the Word of God? Mr. Buzzard would have you believe that, you know, John didn't have all these marbles together when he wrote his version of the Gospel. And who knows, Paul could have gone in the area of heresy a little bit. He says, you know, we only read these things in John's account. Oh, is that all? Well, you can't believe anything that John says. Come on. He appeared and he said. Genesis 3:8, when God is talking to Adam and Eve, where he calls to them in the garden. And they heard the voice of the Lord, God. Well, did they or didn't they? Was it the voice of God the Father? What did Christ say? Now let's look at it. Now, if somebody can show me where all of these scriptures I give you are mistranslated, you just hop in here anytime you want. And the Father Himself, which has sent me, has borne witness to me. This is Jesus Christ speaking. You have neither heard His voice at any time, nor seen His shape. You believe it? Or do you despise the Word of God? Now, do we understand every word of it? No. But are we not understanding all of it? No, I don't think so either. There's a lot we understand. Is this verse pretty clear? Does this verse say, many people have heard the voice of God and seen Him? In many and diverse times. Does it say? No. Does it say they never have? Yes. What are you going to believe? What are you going to believe? The Almighty appeared unto Abraham and spoke. All right, let's go back to the first chapter of John again. Pay attention to the words and you'll find wisdom and knowledge and truth and understanding all over the place. Just pay attention to the words. John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, you know, I'm going to belabor this, but there are any number of translations, including Rotherham and and the NIV and Beck's and the New Revised Standard Version and the Concordant Literal New Testament, they translate that the only begotten God. So many old manuscripts have the only begotten God, which is in the bosom of the Father. But that's not what I want to emphasize here. I just want you to know that's in. He has declared him.
What?
He has declared him. What do you mean he has declared him? The Greek is to unfold, to like the turning of a page, unfolding, you know, knowledge from a book or something, or opening a scroll and learning more and more. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, the only begotten God, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him or revealed him. How can you say that? The Bible is full of revelations of God the Father talking to humanity, right? It's full of it. No. No man has heard God's voice at any time. Jesus Christ said so on 2, 3, 4 occasions. Well, who did they hear? Well, who is the spokesman for God? Jesus Christ. Now, I know that Mr. Buzzard has a big problem with the first couple verses. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, or the proper order is, and God was the Word. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, he said, that's the Father. Well, you know what we did with the 24 hours? Jesus Christ said, are there not 12 hours in 24 hours? Doesn't make sense, does it? In the beginning was God the Father. And God the Father was with the God the Father. And God the Father was God the Father. And God the Father was in the beginning with God the Father. Does that really make sense? Can you really say the Word is God the Father? Does that make any sense at all? Who is the Word of God? What's the proof of that? Do we have proof that He's the Word of God? Huh? No, but is there some place where we're told that Jesus Christ is the Word of God? What? Where are you? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That does prove that whatever this Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But they still argue that it is not Jesus Christ, because it says the Word was God, and Jesus Christ, they say, is not God. But we do have a verse that plainly tells us that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Revelation 19, verse 13. This is speaking of Jesus Christ. Right? It's all heaven and open. This is the coming of Christ. And His eyes were a flame of fire and so on. Verse 13. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called. The name, here's the name of Jesus Christ, is called the Word of God. The Word of God. He's the Logos, the spokesman. That's what Logos means. The Word, the spoken Word, the spokesman. So, let's be scriptural. When it said, and God said, let there be light, who did the setting, the saying? Nobody's ever heard God's voice. This is the voice of Jesus. Jesus was more than the rock opera Jesus Christ superstar. He was not just a man. And we'll see later just how important it is that he was a lot more than just a man. So he is the Word of God. It says so. His name is the Word of God. That's Jesus Christ's name, the Word of God. And he was with God. You can't be with yourself, you know. You got to be with something or somebody else. John 6:46. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Who's that? Jesus Christ. He has seen the Father. When? He said, pray, our Father which art in heaven. Where was Jesus Christ born?
Bethlehem.
On the earth.
Oh, yeah.
Bethlehem.
Bethlehem.
He was born on the earth. After he was crucified, and the girls were holding him by his feet and they wouldn't let him go. And he said, don't touch me. Don't keep holding on to me. I have not yet gone to my Father in heaven. Okay? So between the time he was born, just a man, and died and was resurrected as just a man, when did he see the Father? Huh? If Jesus Christ first came into existence as a human being born in Bethlehem, right? And he never was in heaven, and he says, no man has ever seen the Father, save him, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. He's speaking of himself. In other words, Christ saw the Father. And he said, the things that I see my Father do, that's what I do. When did he see the Father do anything? He was never in heaven, supposedly, if he was just a man. See? And I can take each one of these and work up an hour study on each one of these little ideas. And no matter where it goes, it's going to prove what Jesus Christ is. And it's never going to come out that, oops, yep, that's right, he was just a man. It won't. So many times we are told that people heard the voice of God, God spoke to them, he talked to Adam and Eve, but never was it God the Father. Why? Nobody ever heard his voice. Jesus Christ said so. The Bible's not a liar. Jesus Christ is not a liar. Now, what are you going to do with those verses? Jesus Christ said, no man has ever heard the Father's voice. And then turn around and say, here's 25 times where they heard the Father's voice. That doesn't fit. Something is wrong. Yes, sometimes there was a voice, but not every time. I mean, when Jesus Christ was baptized, they said, a voice came out of heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Doesn't say it was God the Father. It was a voice verifying the feelings of the Father.
Well, tell you, Exodus 2 and Exodus chapter 3, that it was an angel that spoke to Moses at the time of the burning bush.
Sure.
And also it says in Acts chapter 7 and verse 30,
35, 38, and 53
that it was an angel that spoke to Moses, not God.
There may have well been an angel, but that doesn't mean there wasn't God involved. See?
It says specifically there, really, an angel that spoke to Moses.
Right.
And that angel said.
And angels came to visit Abraham too. But that doesn't mean that God never spoke to Abraham. See? I mean, you know, you can have something that is an addition, okay? I know that angels have spoken in behalf of God, but not. But you can't say every time. It says, and he said, I heard your voice, you know, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. And he said, who told you you were naked? Is this God speaking or an angel? Because if God the Father does speak to people, then we have hundreds and thousands of false statements in the Scripture. Because we've got many, many statements talking about what God said and so on. So, I mean, when... You know, that's a good point, Art. You bring up that the angels were doing some of this passing on of information and the Ten Commandments and so on. But it tells us that. See? It tells us that there were angels, so we know that. But it doesn't tell us every single time that every time God speaks in the Old Testament, it's not God at all. It's an angel. Just pretending to be God.
Ray, that's like you said this morning. This is a principle that's laid down here in Exodus chapter 2 and 3. That if you learn that principle, then you can understand that God, when He gave the commandments, He did it through an angel. It tells you that right there in Acts chapter 7. And yeah. That was a testimony of Stephen before they stoned him.
But can you say... No! But can you say it was all done through an angel and through an angel only? God had nothing to do with it. God didn't speak a word. It was all done through angels. Some portion of it was done through angels, for sure. Well, let's look at Exodus. No, Deuteronomy. What is it? Deuteronomy 32. What is it? Where does Moses want to see God? He says, show me you. I want to see you. Where is that? Five? I get so used to my e-sword. No. Where he said, all right, he said, I'll there's a cleft in the rock over here. He said, I'll guard you and then... I'll pass by you. Where is that? Okay. So I was thinking it was in Deuteronomy. I guess maybe it is in Exodus. Okay, I found it, yeah. And I said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Well, let's back up here. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, you say unto me, bring up this people, and so on. Now therefore I pray you, if I have found grace in your eyes. As he said, did I find grace in this angel's eyes? Is this an angel? I pray thee, if I find grace in your eyes. And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest, and so on. And the Lord said unto Moses, is this an angel? In verse 17, and the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, said unto Moses, I will do this thing so that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, I beseech you, show me your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And he said, you cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me that you shall stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass that while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and you shall see my back parts, but my face you cannot see. Are we talking about an angel? If he saw the backside of an angel or the face of an angel, it would kill him? I don't think so. I don't think so. This is the Lord. But it's not God the Father.
Right?
Yes.
And to back that up, in Corinthians 15 it says, the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven.
Yeah, another good point. Where is he from? From heaven. Okay, and I meditated on that a good while. I spent a couple hundred hours on this already.